and this is Coast Community Radio, KMUN Astoria 91.9, KTCB Tillamook 89.5, coastradio.org, wherever you are in the world. San Jose, Costa Rica, hola. Squamish, B.C., East 66th Street, New York, or West 54th, or perhaps Lander, Wyoming, Long Beach, California, wherever you are, call us. We'll give you a shout out too. And of course, everyone in our listening radio area, because you're the lucky ones who get to take advantage of all these fabulous artists that I get to meet and visit with. And by the way, it's especially appropriate that the rain started today because today is World Water Day. Who knew? Well, I didn't, but what I do know is that I have three fabulous musicians right here in the studio with me. They are going to be playing. They're part of the Coastal Celtic Music Festival. This is a first annual, I feel confident in saying. And two of them came together. That would be the Katie Jane Band with Katie Jane and Adam. And Annie Henry is from Olympia. And the three of them never met before, but here's the magic of music. I've asked them to start us right off with a little jam at the Coast Community Radio studio. Take it away. That's what it was like. That's what it was like in the, are they called pubs in Ireland?
Oh, definitely.
Yep. Yeah. People just start playing. If you have an instrument, you can join in. And It's kind of like that around here sometimes, too, with musicians. So my three guests, I am going to give them a chance to visit with you separately. First, just let's say hello. Annie Henry from Olympia. Hi, Annie.
Hello.
Good to have you here.
Thank you so much.
And Katie Jane, the Katie Jane Band with Katie Jane and Adam Easley. And they are from Portland.
That's
correct. Is that right?
Yeah.
Okay.
Thank you for having us.
You bet. So how did this come about, this festival? Have you played before on the peninsula, Katie Jane and Adam?
I've played several concerts on the coast, but not at these particular venues. I'm really excited that I believe Dan is the excellent organizer who's starting this festival, and I think he's just really passionate about Celtic music and kind of bringing people together for that sense of community, just like you were experiencing when you traveled to Ireland.
That's right. That's right. And I think Dan is pretty new on the scene, maybe a couple of years maximum. He sort of slowly emerged because Bill and Sue Swenson at the Peninsula Performing Arts Center have been bringing in musicians for a while, and then suddenly I started to see this new venue. And I, well, what's that? And they were the ones who were telling me about it. And I said, oh, looks like it's even stronger on the Celtic end, so that's great. How about you? Have you played, Annie?
I actually met Dan a couple of years ago. He was managing a bar in the same town as I was living. And he's been out here. He bought the pub out here, I guess, probably close to a year ago now.
Just a year.
And
okay.
Yeah, he's super new, but I came out a few weeks ago to play the pub, and we've been just in good contact. And he asked me to come down for this as well. So
how did you connect up Katie and Adam then?
I just heard about it from some other Irish musicians that were going to play the festival. And so I contacted Dan and I heard about this festival happening. And he said, yes, we want you to play.
Well, it got a great write-up in the Coast Weekend. I don't know that you've seen it yet, but lots of information, including the festival schedule. I'm just going to hand this out to my listeners so you folks can have it in front of you. I bet if you go to the websites, it will be there too. Dan, that we're talking about, is at the Crown Alley Irish Pub on Clipson Beach, that's Ocean Park area. And Chautauqua Lodge is in Long Beach, 14th Street. And the Peninsula Arts Center is, well, I announce them almost every week. So they've got music going 504 Pacific Avenue North. And then the Shelburne Hotel, which has newly been taken over by the same folks who have the pickled fish and the several hotels. But they changed the Shelburne from... the atmosphere has changed. The quality, I'm sure, is just as high as it's always been. Mm-hmm. So that's in Seaview. So we got two in Long Beach, one in Seaview, and one in Ocean Park. Folks, they're all one. It's just one long road, and you can just go back and forth. There is going to be music all weekend at all four venues. And we'll find out where my guests are playing a little bit later. But first, I wanted to, let me start with you, Katie, Jane, and Adam, because you're going to be playing all weekend, and then what happens?
Well, we are so excited. On Monday, we were invited to also continue the weekend of music making and play at the Ilwaco Middle School. Part of what Adam and I do is we started a nonprofit called Hands on Music, where we take a bunch of violins, violas, cellos, guitars, ukuleles, and some of them we've painted to be really fun and inviting for kids. And we even have a light-up cello that sort of interacts with the notes that you're playing and kind of corresponds with that. And we bring it to different schools or concerts or festivals, and so we get to do that at the middle school on Monday too.
So do you bring bows with these instruments?
We do, yeah. We bring bows, and we usually give the kids a quick little lesson when they play it for the first time. It's just really amazing to see a kid who's never gotten to play an instrument pick it up for the first time and make some noise. But
they're excited.
That's when they get inspired and want to play, and that's how that happens.
So did either of you start music while you were in school?
I started by doing private lessons, and then I was in second grade when I started playing violin. And then eventually, once I got to middle school, I started playing in school, and that was when it got really fun to play with others.
Other people.
Yeah. Right.
So whose idea was it when you took the private lesson? Was it your parents or yours?
I think my mom just casually asked me if I wanted to play an instrument, and
good for her.
I picked the violin, and
good
here
for
I
you.
Am now. It stuck.
That's great. How about you, Adam?
I did start on a guitar class in seventh grade, mm-hmm. but my parents weren't really that involved. It was pretty much my own doing, or mm-hmm. undoing, as it might be.
but you started in school.
Yeah, I started a guitar class, yeah.
So here you are turning around, going into the schools, and who knows? Who knows how many kids you might inspire? So it's just a one-hour session or what?
Yeah. They do a little school assembly, I think. Mm-hmm. So it's usually during their lunch hour is what they do, and we'll be there in the lunchroom and have all the instruments set up.
Oh,
and
so kids can just come over to you and be curious about it and stuff. Nice.
Yeah.
So there's no pressure, so it works out well.
Mild chaos, but lots of fun.
Well, that's brave of the school, and I much appreciate it, because folks who listen to this show know this is an event-driven show. So I have musicians, not just local musicians like yourselves, and people who come from all over the world who are performing in our radio area, and they come on. And a large percentage started when they were in school. And mm-hmm. I am 150% supportive of arts in the schools. Worked in it myself, and I'm a big supporter because we know, you three know, obviously, that music and art saves lives, heals mm-hmm. people, heals the earth, and brings so much joy. So
exactly.
Yeah. So you live in Portland. Do you play in Portland as well, or how does that work?
Yeah, we play in Portland. We tour all over the West Coast. It's...
Do you have day jobs, too?
I also teach violin. Yeah, and I teach a couple classes. In Portland, I teach an Irish fiddle group class, which is really fun.
Really? Sure. I bet it was talk about chaos last week with St. Paddy's Day.
Yeah. Right. So I enjoy that a lot.
How about you, Adam?
I teach also guitar and violin, and I've attended lots of her Irish fiddle classes.
Aha, the plot thickens. Well, so both of you are actually making your life with music.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay, congratulations. That's great. And again, that's something I like people to hear, because some people think that art is frivolous, or maybe it's a nice hobby, but you can't possibly make a living at it, or etc. And I like to show them there are people who do. Many don't. I mean, for many of us, it is a hobby, and that's great, too. It's a way to come together with people, but it can branch into something else, too. Wonderful.
Definitely.
And Annie, how about you?
Yes.
Tell us your story. You're in Olympia. Where did you grow up, by the way?
I grew up in a very small town called Enumclaw.
You're kidding.
I did.
Oh, my God. The real thing, huh?
Mm-hmm. So
Northern exposure, here we come. Right.
Yeah, so I definitely I come from a very culturally rich family. Most of my cousins are bagpipers.
Oh, really?
Yeah. And I'm actually the only fiddle player in my family. I don't really know how that happened.
Do they play Ilian pipes or regular pipes?
Highland bagpipes.
Highland bagpipes.
The big ones. Yeah.
Are they as small as you?
Nope.
No, because that would be quite a chore.
It's a lot.
Yeah. It's a heavy instrument, too.
Yeah. So I tried that, and I was just too darn small
yeah.
at 6 years old.
I would think most people would be, but yeah.
Yeah. It takes a lot of lungs. But I definitely grew up singing and dancing since I could pretty much walk. And then,
do you do Irish dancing too?
I have. Okay. I don't anymore.
Okay,
it's a little hard on the knees as you get older. But
she's not very old, folks. Go on. Yes, none of them are. It's all in the perspective, of course. So you turned to the fiddle,
mm-hmm.
and took lessons as well?
Yeah, I started in school, actually. We had a really great strings program that started when I was about 7. And,
In Enumclaw.
Mm-hmm.
Great.
Yeah, and from there, I started taking, that was, of course, classical in school. And then I started private fiddle mm-hmm. lessons on the side as well. And it's kind of just grown from there into guitar and...
So all of you, it sounds to me, kind of fell in love with making music.
Yeah.
And did you actually make a decision, this is what I'm going to do with the rest of my life? Or did it just keep growing and growing? Or?
I think at some point it's been such a part of my life for mm-hmm. so long. It's been kind of a natural evolution. But I think as a teenager... it started really getting serious, and I was like, okay, this is the thing that...
Were you a weird kid in Enumclaw?
I was a very weird kid.
How big is that town?
It's bigger now, but when I was growing up, there was about 10,000 people.
Okay, that's like Astoria, mm-hmm. yeah. But nowadays, of course, it's extremely popular, but I'm thinking it could be kind of the weird...
The weird
kid, but look at you now. I bet they're going, how come she gets to do that and we have to, you know, whatever.
I hope they're pretty proud of me.
Yeah. And then you moved to Olympia on your own?
Yeah. I actually spent a couple years kind of just touring around the country and came back home and kind of settled close enough.
Mm-hmm. Right. With a little bit of distance.
Yeah.
Do you also teach or?
I do. I only teach privately right now. I've got a couple of students scattered about, but I do a lot of workshops at uh-huh. events and stuff. But
okay.
It's definitely something I'm super passionate about.
Okay. And I forgot to ask Katie and Adam, where did you folks grow up?
Oh, I grew up in California in the Bay Area.
Uh-huh.
Mm-hmm.
I'm from Albuquerque, New Mexico.
Oh, nice. Okay. Okay. And you all ended up in the Northwest. Well, you started here, but...
I came back.
I didn't. Yeah, right. Oh, you... Right, from traveling. Well, I would... Let's see. What I'd like to do is maybe play a... tune from Katie Jane Band, has a brand new album. I looked at the tiny print, and it's 2019. So.
Yeah.
Excellent. Is this your first album, or do you have others out?
It's our first one together, yeah.
Great. Okay, and do you want to set us up with this number 6, Patty?
Yeah. So we're going to play a tune from our new album called The Stanton Street Sessions. These two tunes are first a traditional Irish tune, followed by an original tune that Adam and I wrote in the French-Canadian style, which we wrote on Christmas morning. So hence
that's
why we call it Hommage de Christmas Morning.
Right. She's got three languages in there. French, Spanish, and English. This is good. Let's hear it from the Katie Jane Band right here on KMUN. Thank you. Yes, that was the Katie Jane Band with Stanton Street Sessions, a brand new album. And the second part was an original, and you said it was in the French-Canadian style. Yeah. What does that mean?
Well, basically what I've noticed about the French-Canadian tunes is they have this really cool rhythm to it, because typically French-Canadian fiddle players, Quebecois players, will tap their feet while they play their instruments. So it's kind of a unique style of playing.
Step dancing with their feet and playing music with their arms. So,
yeah.
Okay. Well, that was delightful. And you must have a website here somewhere. Oh, yes, the Katie Jane Band, Katie Jane Band.com. And then you can find out, cute picture on the front, too. If you manage to catch the Coast Weekend, or go to one of the websites of the venues, I'm sure you'll see some of these pictures. I've asked Annie, who first played the fiddle with the opening jam, and now she's got her gorgeous guitar. It's also, is that because everybody plays bagpipes? You have a huge guitar. Is that, that's big.
It is. It's about as big as I am.
Yeah.
I fell in love with the artwork, and from what I can tell, this maker only made about a dozen or so of this model.
So wait, the maker made it, including the artwork on it.
Yes.
Huh.
Yeah, it's laser etched into the wood.
Etched into the wood, nice. It's quite gorgeous, yes.
Thank you.
I asked if you could do a vocal as well, and this is...
Absolutely.
Tell us a little bit about it, and then take it away.
So this is a traditional Irish tune, and the Irish are really good at love songs. And this happens to be one of the more upbeat pub tunes.
Upbeat, okay.
That's it. It's called The Star of the County Down.
Oh.
Near Banbridge Town in the county down, one morning this past July, down a boring green came a sweet Colleen, and she smiled as she passed me by. She looked so neat from her two white feet to the sheen of her nut brown hair. Such a coaxing elf, I had to shake myself to make sure I was really there. From Bantry Bay up to Derry Kay, and from Galway to Dublin town, no maid I've seen like the sweet Colleen that I met in the county down. As she onward sped, I shook my head and I gazed with a feeling rare. And I said, says I, to a passerby, who's the maid with the nut brown hair? He looked at me with pride, says he, she's the gem of all Ireland's crown. That's young Rose McGann from the banks of the Bann, she's the star of the county down. From Bantry Bay up to Derry Kay, and from Galway to Dublin town, no maid I've seen like the sweet Colleen that I met in the county down. At the Harvest Fair, she'll sure be there, and I'll dress in my Sunday clothes. With my shoes shone bright, my hat cocked right, for the heart of my nut brown rose. No pipe I'll smoke, no horse I'll yoke, though with frost my plow turns brown. Tell a smiling bride, by my own fireside sits the star of the county down. From Bantry Bay up to Derry Kay, and from Galway to Dublin town, no maid I've seen like the sweet Colleen that I met in the county down. From Bantry Bay to Derry Kay, and from Galway to Dublin town, no maid I've seen like the sweet Colleen that I met in the county down.
right. Beautiful. Yeah.
Thank you.
When you play, well, you've been doing all your acts for the Coastal Celtic Fair. That's a music festival. That's why these three are here. Will you be, when you play either fiddle or guitar, will you be playing solo?
I am all solo this weekend, yes.
All solo. Okay. I bet they're going to have some sessions, though. How could you have Irish? How could you have an Irish gathering without sessions? I mean, it's just part of the vocabulary there. Wonderful. That was Annie Henry from Olympia on this beautiful guitar. And Annie, when are you? What are you doing tonight?
Tonight I'm racing back to the Crown Alley Irish Pub.
Yes.
For a spot at about 5.
Yep.
And then I know I've got one later tonight at about 9 o'clock at one of the other venues, and I could not tell you which one it is offhand.
I can.
Okay, it's good.
Look, it's very handy to have a schedule. It's at the Peninsula Arts Center. Which is in Long Beach, right on 101. Crown Alley is way up there, so we will. I'm going to let you all go pretty soon, but I wondered whether you have, and I know I told you, we could squeeze in a 3-minute tune, or just, you know, yeah, tell us what you want to play. This is the Katie Jane Band live.
All right, we're going to play three reels for you. The first two are a couple of traditional tunes, and the third one is another original tune that we wrote called Crunchy Soup.
I like it. Wow, that's definitely sounded crunchy, I must say. Wonderful, wonderful, wonderful. Thank you so much, all three of you again, folks. Oh, and I should mention that Katie Jane Band is playing at 7 o'clock at Crown Alley Irish Pub. They have Annie, my guest, Annie Henry at 5, Shameless Celts at 6, Katie Jane Band at 7, oh, and Shameless Celts is back at 8, and then that Irish guy, I got to see this guy, and then there's music all, and this is at Crown Alley Irish Pub, Chautauqua Lodge, Peninsula Arts Center, Shelburne Hotel. They all have music tonight, all day tomorrow, starting at about 1, going until 11 or midnight. They're slightly different schedules, so get yourself a schedule. I'm sure there is a website, but if you put in the computer Coastal Celtic Music Festival, if you haven't got your tickets yet, I bet you, hopefully you can squeeze in. They should have a great turnout because this is so exciting. They've got, they've got so many different players here. They've also got Marion DeCicco. I couldn't pronounce her name last time. I can't this time either. Curlew's Call, who was on the air with us one time. Sons of Malarkey. Stout Pounders. Is that everybody? All mishmash. The Bold Dougherty. And I think that's it. And they'll be jumping around to the various venues. Going to keep you guys really busy. And I hope you have a wonderful time. Thank you so much for coming in.
Thank you for having us.
You just heard from Katie Jane and Adam with the Katie Jane Band. And before that, we heard from Annie Henry and on guitar. And Coastal Celtic Music Festival. Thanks.
Safe travels. Thank you so much.
Enjoy the weekend. And you know what? It's going to be rainy, so people will really be happy to be inside. Yeah.
It's fine Irish weather.
That's perfect. Exactly. Although when I was there, it was pretty sunny, but I got lucky. Take care and thanks.
Thank you.
I've got some music for you from the fabulous Terry Robb, who is coming to Nehalem, to the North County Recreation District Performing Arts Center. That's NCRD. That is April 6th. Have a listen and do stay tuned. KMUN Astoria, KTCB, Tillamook. That was Terry Robb from Portland. I was in Portland last week, and his picture was everywhere because that's what happens when you have a brand new album, 2019. very exciting. It's called Confessin' My Dues, and you heard Butch Holler Stomp. It's got all kinds of music on it. Terry does honor us with visits here in various venues on the coast and Washington and Astoria and all the way down. So catch his act Saturday, April 6th at the NCRD in Nehalem. Wait, is that the same weekend? No. Hold on. Let me grab my... That was pretty exciting having all those people in here. It is the same weekend. That's what I thought. My guests now are from... this is an annual event. What number is this?
It's the 8th.
8th annual. Oh, this is a fabulous event. It's called Get Lit at the Beach. And you can figure out, or maybe you can't figure out what that means. I couldn't at the first time, but it's actually about literature.
Oh.
Well, I'm sorry. I had to give it away. Nowadays, it could be about lots of things. It wasn't legal back then. But, well, literature was, sort of.
Wholesome event, Carol.
It's a wholesome event, and it's a very whole event, too. I see you've got, what, 2, 4, 6 guest authors, and this is cute, Lit Crawl Authors. Wait, let me introduce you first. I'm so used to, you know. Don't you know who it is, folks? Of course, it's Tracy Abel and Andrew Tonry. Tonry?
Tonry.
Tonry. Like Henry.
Yeah.
And they are with the Tolovana Arts Colony. And this is one of the events from the Tolovana Arts Colony. They do lots of good things. But this one has been going for a number of years. Boy, this is quite a nice brochure you have here. Very nice. Okay, so it says, new this year, Friday evening lit crawl. And I see the authors are Peter Lindsay, Professor Peter Lindsay, that would be, of course, and Paul Zittorelli?
Correct.
Zittorelli. Okay, so why don't you give an overview of the whole festival and then tell us... And by the way, folks, the good news is that I will be having one of the authors come, if all goes well, on April 5th and be on the show. So you'll get an update on her brand new book. But tell us about this Get Lit at the Beach, how it happened.
Well, it's a full weekend of festivities. This is a festival that is... kind of one of a kind. It's a festival that's really devoted to readers. And it begins on Friday. We have a reception. You can meet and greet with the authors. And then we do have the new Cannon Beach Lit Crawl, which will start at the Cannon Beach Library. And that will be with Professor Peter Lindsay. And then from there, you can move on to the Wine Walk, or sorry, the Wine Shack. And then we'll have Paul Zittorelli. It's kind of a Cannon Beach version of a pub crawl, so to speak.
Right,
so,
right.
And then on Saturday, we'll have the authors all doing their readings, starting at 10 a.m. And the first guests would be Carol Casella, and then Pierce Brown, and then Sophia Shalmayev. And Lenny Zumas. And they'll be the moderator for their talk. So, and then that evening we will have the keynote dinner at the Surf Sand with Deb Coletti. And then again on Sunday, we have a Q&A, kind of a roundtable discussion, pretty informal, at the Coaster Theater. And that is also free and open to the public. I don't know if I added, but the Cannon Beach Lit Crawl portion of it on Friday evening is free and open to the public.
Oh, wow.
Also.
Oh, sweet. Lovely. Otherwise, you want to get your tickets at getlitatthebeach.com. That couldn't be simpler. And I have to give an endorsement on this festival. It's wonderful. I wasn't quite sure how it was going to be that first time I went, kind of just sitting there and listening to oh, my gosh, I'll never forget. Garth Stein was there, and I just started things off, and every single writer just was so inspiring and exciting to hear.
It's a really cool collection of people, and you know, you'll go every year, and you might come for one author or the other,
right?
And you're guaranteed to come away with, you know, a new author that you you know are super inspired by and want to check out.
Appreciation, yeah. And there's so there was quite a variety. Was it last year or the year before that there was the there was a woman who wrote really scary stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
I think that was 2 years ago.
2 years. I said that.
Yeah, I mean, like, it's, you know, Terry Brooks, fantasy author, is kind of the godfather of this thing.
Right.
But it's not, you know, it's really not beholden to genre at all. I mean, you have, you know, a young adult writer, you have a science fiction writer, you have a anesthesiologist turned writer who writes about health related stuff. But, I mean, it's cool fiction and, like, you know, plot twisty. And there's, a feminist writer that kind of fits in with our times of resistance, like a very 2018 kind of thing. I mean, like, it's a little of everything.
So Terry Brooks is back this year, which is wonderful. I'm thinking that Carol Casella is the anesthesiologist. And I read her book. I think it was called Oxygen. Yes.
Yep.
Oh, my God. That was 2008. She was right here with me. And so I had to read the book first so I could interview her. I was blown away because when I understood that she actually came from that background, it was kind of like she was a whistleblower in a way. It was a fascinating and intriguing book. And you knew you were learning stuff on all levels, but also she's a wonderful writer.
I saw a quote about her that said she has the heart of a poet and the mind of a physician. So,
nice.
And I should add, there was one more writer who is a memoirist and talks about immigrating from Russia. So there's really
and
a
that's
wide
Sophia,
variety.
Who will be in the studio with me in a couple of weeks. And Sophia actually used to live in Cannon Beach.
Oh.
Yes, her son, when he was 2 years old, picked my name out of a hat, and I won a prize. So I'm very, very. I feel very close to the family. But so, how did this come about to begin with? Do you? I know Andrew wasn't here.
The festival?
Yeah.
Yeah, the festival came about before my time, actually, a year before, but really was the brainchild of Valerie Ryan.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah.
Yes.
So, and she and I think it was Mike Morgan and Jeff Womack from Tolvana Arts Colony, they all got together and said, this needs to happen, and really made it happen. And that was the year that they honored Ursula Le Guin with the Key.
Oh, and she was amazing.
Yeah.
Yeah, people came from all over the country. I had people at my table, because in the evening you have this luxurious dinner and the keynote speaker, and there were people who came from, one was from Eastern Canada, and the other was from the Midwest, and they were familiar with her work. And when they learned that she was the keynote speaker, they came to hear her. She was fabulous.
Yeah, we draw in because of the authors really reaching a variety of people. So it's
was it last year that Nancy Pearl was?
That
was 2 years ago. Also,
4 years ago.
Oh,
I
really?
Think.
Oh my God, time flies. Well, she just came out and spoke on the coast at the Hoffman, and I remember again reading. A librarian is the keynote speaker? Really? Oh, my God, she had us in stitches. And we learned something as well. So, the Tolovana Arts Colony has been around for a long time. Again, Mike, Uncle Mike and Billy started that. And they used to come up and talk about things. And now, Andrew, you're the program director there. So, what other kinds of stuff do you do for the Tolovana Arts Colony?
Anything that needs to be done.
What kind of events do you have?
Coming up, the next, we're working on a couple of workshops, but nothing that I'm ready to announce a date for. Things like leather working and some figure drawing. But the next thing I can put a date on is May 10th. We're having a Founders Day party celebrating those two and kind of, you know, the purpose of this Founders Day party is, I mean, to really engage the community and kind of see, to talk to folks directly, you know, I'd be like, hey, what kind of things would you like to see? How would you like to get involved, you know, really?
I remember what they said was, Cannon Beach is so full of creative people, and we're not doing anything, you know? We have galleries. We always have galleries, but we haven't. And so they wanted to, so they started doing these classes with local artists, and it was fantastic. Mm-hmm. But that's a great idea. Ask the public. So, Tracy, what do you think about this year's Get Lit?
Oh, my gosh. I'm so excited for it. I mean, we have 8 authors.
I know. This is big.
Yeah, it's growing every year. I think Andrew was kind of explaining it in a way of, you know, you might go to this event to see an author, but you come away inspired by several authors or all the authors. And it's just really hard to put into words how I think interesting, inspiring, and amazing that this little festival is.
Yeah.
I would say that it's different than your average reading. So, you know, you to a reading, you get 2 seconds with an author in a line, you know. I mean, like, if you come Friday night to the reception, you could sit down at their table and, you know, have a glass of wine or really chat people up. And then you'll see the authors mingling throughout the whole weekend. So they're, you know.
Exactly. That's what I was thinking is, this is a whole festival weekend and everybody is there together.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And people are very open and accessible and generous. And yes, they do sell their books too. But you don't have to buy a book.
No.
You probably will be tempted, but that's the idea.
You could even bring one that you already
own.
That's
true, yes, and have them sign. So, okay, folks, so my guests, Tracy Abel and Andrew Tonry from Tolovana Arts Colony with Get Lit at the Beach, a gathering for readers. It's the best. I don't think I've ever even heard of anything like this, and I certainly have never been at anything as rich in the literary field, and yet comfortable, friendly, fun, and after all, it's in Cannon Beach. If people want more information, what to do?
Go to our website, getlitatthebeach.com. And also, I don't even know if we've said the dates, but I'm just going to repeat them one more time. So that's April 5th through the 7th.
Right. And that is, and on April 5th, we'll be talking about it again on this show.
And if you're thinking about coming out, you've never been, the Friday's Lit Crawl is free, and so is Sunday. So those are good kind of like, you know, dip your toe in the water.
Right. And if you do that on like Friday night, could you then say, hey, I want to come back for more and get tickets?
It depends on availability.
Available. Okay. Mm-hmm.
I would caution to wait if you really want to go.
It does fill up.
It does.
And, you know, in addition to all these fabulous authors, the guests are fascinating because so many of them are writers, too. Hey, my big stamp of endorsement because this is a very special festival. And this brochure is lovely. Thank you. I'm glad you brought it for me. Get Lit at the Beach, April 5th through 7th. Go to their website, getlitatthebeach.com. You can also get tickets at the Cannon Beach Book Company, Jupiter's Books, or Copies and Facts. Thank you so much
for
coming
in. Thank you, Carol. We appreciate
it. And thanks for getting this happening again. Mm-hmm. Wonderful. Okay. I have some more guests, and I wanted to just celebrate. Some of you, I'm sure, saw that 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. I think this is the right one. You saw that unbelievable moon the other night, and let's celebrate the moon.
Elap e o sag, na shini nak, 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 push no bana imo wiki, push no banner imo wiki, push no banner imo wiki, push no banner imo wiki, push no ishi e nana.
It's the walnut moon. We fish to gain balance. We accept the things the Creator gives us. We thank you for everything. We listen to the wind and we watch the rain. We see all the good. It's the walnut moon. And I do want to just let you know, the Coaster has Living on Love tonight and tomorrow night at 7:30 and Sunday at 3. And Kala has Will Horniak tonight and tomorrow. And my guests are here to tell you what's coming up soon. And my guests are from the Astor Street Opera Company. They're going to come on into the microphone a little bit closer. Do you guys use microphones at the
We try the not to.
Playhouse? Yeah. Yeah. For some people, it might be a good idea for the little ones, but I try to sit up nice and close. The Astor Street Opera Company is featuring the 9th annual The Real Lewis and Clark Story. How the... They may have dropped the word the, I can't tell. The Finns discovered Astoria. It's a melodrama. What else would you expect from the Astor Street Opera Company?
Exactly. Yeah.
Jane Osborne is one of my guests, and Jane, you're the director this year.
This year, yeah.
Have you done it before, though, I think?
I stage managed it quite a few times.
Is this the first time you're directing?
This is the first time I've directed Lewis and Clark. Yeah, it's been a while since I directed. Gosh, I'm thinking 5 or 6 years since I've
really?
Done any directing.
How many people are there in this show?
Oh, was I supposed to count them?
No,
oh,
just
God.
An approximation.
Oh,
like
gosh.
There are 2 people?
I'm thinking there's probably at least 15.
Yeah.
Okay, because I'm pointing out that it's a little harder to direct 15 of all ages than it is to direct 2.
It
especially
is, yeah.
If the two are
it's like
screwed.
Herding cats
exactly.
is what I've said several
and
times.
And the age range isn't there a...
Well, we tried to go adult,
uh-huh.
but I've had a hard time casting.
Okay.
So we had such really wonderful
young
children
people, yes.
in our Robin Hood that mm-hmm. I pulled about 3 of them
I enjoyed that
from
play.
The show. They all have really good voices,
mm-hmm.
and for young people, they're really wanting to be there, and
that's
they're
great.
Very attentive and
that's
listen.
One of my favorite things about ASOC is that you start young people and bring them up in
mm-hmm.
theater.
Yeah.
My second guest is someone new to me, Adam Haas, and Adam is playing Oli.
Yes.
Oh, I'm sure that's a really serious part, isn't it?
Of course, no. It's a lot of fun.
It is. Have you worked with Astor Street Opry before?
This is going to be my second full show. I actually came on when we did Topsy Turvy for the Shanghai. I came on the last weekend to do that. I had a friend and
then dragged
needed,
you in there.
Right?
Yes.
And then I was in the Scrooged production.
Okay.
And so.
Okay. Okay. Have you lived here long? Were you familiar with?
Yeah, I actually grew up across the river over in Nacelle. So I've been
okay.
in this area my entire life.
Okay.
Yeah.
So you'd seen some of the work there.
Right, yes.
And you knew how wacky it
I
could
did,
be.
I did, yes, and I know how much fun it is.
Absolutely. People do have a good time. Mm-hmm. So did you know many of the folks in the cast, though?
No, actually, with the new shows, I really didn't know anyone, but
right.
basically they just take you under their wing and your family from
That's
the get-go,
great.
And it's
Beautiful.
It's make some really good friends.
Beautiful. Well, one of you give us a brief overview of this play, and also tell me, is it still How the Finns, or have we dropped the word the?
It's the true story of Lewis and Clark, or How the Finns Discovered Astoria.
Okay, and this was written by Judith Nyland.
Judith
yes.
wrote it.
Right. And her sister
her sister and brother-in-law helped with the music. And they may be coming to see the show. They're coming up from California. That's nice. Pretty exciting.
Yeah. And Phil Morrill.
Phil is coming to play piano for us. He's so wonderful. Yes. He is going to be our pianist. And, of course, Bill Brooks is on the drums. Right. And, Lewis and Clark, to me, is the funniest of the three shows, the three melodramas, because it's pretty avant-garde and outside the box.
I don't think there's anything inside the box at Astor Street. Come on,
very Jane. Little anymore. Yeah, we're kind of all pretty avant-garde and out the box. But yeah. Lewis and Clark is sometimes it's so silly. I just sit there and laugh at them because they're doing such a great job of making me laugh. So I know they're going to make everybody else laugh.
So how do you keep a straight face, Ole?
He's pretty funny. Yeah.
My facial expressions get the best of me a lot.
We're putting a fake beard on. Right,
But no, it's actually once you're on stage, it's pretty incredible how much the lights. You really can't see the audience, and that's kind of a good thing, because when you have friends and family, they're going to want to try to get you and make you break. But this one, though, I really don't have to be that serious, and it's a lot of fun. I get to goof around and have a lot of fun with the character, so
that sounds great.
I'm having
great.
A blast.
So why theater, though? What does it do for you? What did you discover? Because you're not one of the little kids.
No, I actually, it started when I was in school. When I was young, I had an amazing teacher and mentor that, you know, from Christmas concerts to singing solos, and then we did our own little productions and stuff. So I've been doing it most of my life.
Is this in NASAL?
Yeah, in NASAL with the NASAL High School.
A lot of good stuff.
And then this one kind of came about. I had a friend that asked if I wanted to do it, and I said, sure, why not? And now I drank the juice, and here I am.
You did get the Kool-Aid.
Right. Yeah.
Well, it's wonderful. The play opens when?
We open March 29th, and we run till April 20th.
Yes.
So you won't have to miss Easter.
Well, there are 10. There are 10 shows.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So
we're just doing Friday, Saturday, and then we've got two matinees on the 7th and the 14th.
Right. And Astor Street runs 7 o'clock. And 2 o'clock, as
correct.
Opposed
yes.
to the Coaster, which is 7:30 and 3 o'clock.
I keep you on your
why
toes.
Should everybody?
Yeah.
Right, exactly. And the best thing to do for all of the all the information about Astor Street Opry Company, which is a wonderful group of people. They've been around for over 30 years. It's ASOC, ASOC. Play. That's Astor Street Opry Company. ASOCPlay.com. Mm-hmm. That's all you need to remember. That's easy. And then check it out and get yourself some tickets, take friends, and enjoy the show. And this show also got tweaked couple of years ago, or maybe last year or something, tightened up, and I really enjoyed it. So
The ending used to be a little circumvented. Yeah.